last night in Dayton, Ohio, at a popular nightclub area. Some idiot decided to go on a shooting rampage there, killed about 9 people, wounded about 16 others. That lasted about 60 seconds before he went to meet his maker. Thank God for the police. It's not Carol's fault what it says in the bulletin about the message. God changed my message last night. He's wont to do that periodically. One, to see if I'm obedient, and two, to give me a better idea of what he feels we need to hear. And when I get back that first Sunday, when Candy and I are back, we will definitely talk about, is God real? But today, we're going to talk about evil and heroes. Because make no mistake, what happened the last 24 hours, what happened in Gilroy last week, is evil. And I didn't say this, another pastor did recently. You know, this isn't about politics, it's not about agendas. It's pure evil. We'll be in Proverbs 4:14-17. Those are our key verses. Proverbs 4:14-17. And as I said, I want to talk about the increasing evil. By the way, for the rest of the time that I'm here, no matter how long that is, if when I'm up here, and if I ever yell, hit the ground. If you remember the San Bernardino shooting, remember that? It was on a Wednesday. It was less than 2 miles away from Unified Baptist Church. And I'm sitting there watching the news right after this went down, and supposedly they were still searching for another suspect who was in the general area. So we had to cancel Wednesday night and come up with a plan. And the easiest thing to do is, if you hit the ground, it's hard to shoot through and over chairs. They'll stop bullets. They'll help to get you out of the way. So if I ever yell that, hit the deck, okay? And number two, safety-wise, danger would probably come in from there. That's the only way. The only exit is through there. But through there, you can either go that way or down the street to the neighbors on the other side to get to safety. Going out that way would allow them to go back out and have you there, so you get more safety that way. This is what you get when you have an ex-firefighter and an ex-fire prevention officer and a former sheriff's deputy as your pastor. In 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy regarding perilous times. Verse 3, he says that people will be unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Well, we certainly witnessed that yesterday and early this morning and last week, didn't we? What kind of evil inhabits a person that leads them to go out and try to kill and maim as many people as possible? Newsflash. You know, the world always wants to know, right? Well, what was the motive? They were asking the chief that yesterday of El Paso. Well, what was his motive? You want to know what his motive was? To kill people. That's the motive, is to murder. Evil doesn't need a motive. Evil is the motive. And it is pure evil to execute a plan designed to kill as many people as possible. Our verses, Proverbs 4:14-17. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Another thought that always surfaces during times like this, of course, is, and it's an attack. They don't really care. Unbelievers don't really care. It's a way to attack Christians. And, you know, why would a loving God allow evil things to happen? Well, Jesus talks about that in the New Testament, when a minaret falls on some people and he says, what was their crime? I.e., the point being, bad things happen to everybody. And the simple answer is because this is a sinful and broken world. Of course, then the response is, well, if God is all-knowing, why would he allow Adam and Eve to sin if he knew all the rest of this stuff would happen? Well, good question, and thank you for asking, because now you just walked right into it. Because the response is, are we responsible for our actions? Yes, we are. God endowed humanity with free will, because it is only through free will that he knows when we truly love him. Otherwise, we're automatons. Yes, God. Praise God. Yes, God. He didn't want that. He wanted people to choose. He gave Adam and Eve the free will to choose. And he warned them, which gave them responsibility. The same responsibility that you and I have, that every human has. But it's the only way that he can be sure of our love towards him. But as I said, that free will comes with responsibility. Listen to the beginning of the Westminster Confession of Faith, drawn up in the 1640s. It was by an assembly of 151 theologians, mostly Presbyterians and Puritans. Don't hold that against them. And they were at Westminster Abbey. And it has become the standard of doctrine for the Church of Scotland and many Presbyterian churches throughout the world. And several other denominations, including Baptists and Congregationalists, have used adaptations of the Westminster Confession of Faith as a basis for their own doctrinal statements. And we get that from gotquestions.org. You can look that up, Westminster Confession. It is also considered subordinate to the Bible, not greater to. These were godly men. Quote, God from all eternity did, by the most wise and holy counsel of his own free will, freely and unchangeably ordain whatsoever comes to pass. Yet so as thereby, neither is God the author of sin. He is not the author of sin. Nor is violence offered to the will of the creatures. He doesn't send violence on them. Nor is the liberty or contingency of second causes taken away, but rather established. Yes, God knows what is going to happen, but it is mankind that is responsible for those happenings. From the very beginning. Cain had a choice, didn't he? I hate my brother. I don't like my brother. He's showing me up in front of God. He didn't have to crush his skull with a rock. He chose to commit the first murder in the history of mankind. He chose to murder his brother. Mankind had a choice regarding the greatest evil ever perpetrated, which was the execution of Jesus Christ. Acts 2:22-24. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in the midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. They chose to do that. You know, it is through evil and sin that God shows his glory. It is through evil and sin that God shows his love and mercy. Romans 9:22-24. What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, Paul tells us. And Paul knew full well what he was talking about, being a scholar, being a Pharisee. He knew what the prophets went through in particular the minor prophets, and how long, over more than 200 years, God sent them to tell Israel and Judah, you're messing up. You're going to be destroyed if you keep wandering down this path. All you have to do is repent and return to me. For more than 200 years, God sent messengers to Israel and Judah before finally their time was spent. And there comes a time when everything's time is spent. And sometimes it's spent in a really negative fashion, as when Israel's time was spent and Assyria reduced them to rubble and enslaved them. And Judah, not being smart enough to figure out what was happening to their fellow Jews just north of them, some years later wound up with their free vacation to Babylon for 70 years. All God wanted them to do was repent and return to him and follow his laws. But make no mistake, everybody's time and every nation's time gets spent. And the terrible, terrible tragedy when you think about eternity in the last 24 hours is how many of those people who died, their time was spent. And if they weren't saved, they don't have a choice anymore. That's the terrible, terrible tragedy of yesterday as far as eternity goes. How is evil defined? It's defined as profoundly immoral and malevolent. How is malevolent defined? Having or showing a wish to do evil to others. There's the shooter's motive. They're evil and malevolent. Their desire is to kill and to maim as quickly and as efficiently as possible. In fact, if we think back to 2017, the Sutherland Springs Church shooting in Texas, that shooter had a long history of immoral and malevolent actions. And if the Air Force had done its job, he would have been in the crime database, and he wouldn't have been allowed to buy the weapons, which he purchased legally, to do what he did at the church. He would have been prevented at least from legally getting them. The system broke. You know, there are several types of evil that exist on the earth. One is natural evil, and that is what happens, you know, through natural disasters. Remember, the earth was also cursed at the time of Adam, wasn't it? All of creation was cursed. Thank you, Adam and Eve. Romans 8:22, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Another evil is moral evil, which dominates the human race. It is the moral evil that we witnessed in Sunderland, Texas, in that shooting in 2017, and before that in Las Vegas, and last week in Gilroy, yesterday in El Paso, and early this morning in Dayton, Ohio. Then there is the supernatural evil described in Revelation chapter 12. You know, Daniel was also witness to supernatural evil. If you look at Daniel 10, verses 12 through 13, Daniel 10, verses 12 to 13. Then he said to me, this is an angel talking to Daniel, do not fear, Daniel, for from the very first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me, for I had been left there alone with the kings of Persia. So you have an angel of the Lord fighting with the principalities, the evil of Persia, so much so that Michael, an archangel, had to come and help him to relieve him so he could go deliver God's message to Daniel. So it's out there as well. But out of evil comes what? Heroes. Remember back through all the carnage of the Las Vegas shooting, and we learned about incredible heroism. After the shots rang out and people began to fall, people of all colors and ethnicities began to help each other. What is the second greatest commandment? To love your neighbor as yourself? Well, you certainly can't love your neighbor more than putting your life at risk for them. And that is what we saw in Sunderland, Texas. As a Christian man crossed the street, heard the shooting, and he grabbed his weapon and charged towards the shooting. Do you realize these cowards don't continue to shoot innocent people when people are shooting at them? And this guy hit him, and he made him run. And he stopped that massacre. All it takes for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. He put himself at risk, and he stopped what was happening. Last week in Gilroy, the police were there in less than a couple of minutes, and they forced the shooter to stop shooting people, and the shooter reportedly killed himself. Yesterday, law enforcement responded. It took them about 6 minutes, but law enforcement from every aspect, Border Patrol, feds, state police, local police, everybody responded there. And they responded as fast as they could. And then they caught the guy down the road as he sort of tried to get away. And a lot of people say, well, why didn't they shoot him? The police are to be congratulated for their restraint. Because if he got out of his car, they stopped him. He got out of his car. If he didn't have a weapon, he didn't point a weapon at him, regardless of what he did, they're not allowed to execute him on the street. And they did what they're supposed to do. Trust me, the guys who arrested him wanted to send him to the afterlife. But that's not their job. The court system we have will take care of that. They did their job. They stopped him. He's in custody. You know, people have been attacking. You know, and everybody comes out. Christians come out and we're praying for those people. And of course, the haters, oh, what good does praying do? Praying didn't stop that. Praying didn't save the folks at church in Sunderland, Texas. Just what does praying do? Well, those haters have no clue what praying does. And at the very least, it comforts those who survive to know that people are sharing their breaking hearts for them through God. You know, another hero from the Sunderland shooting was this guy who was just driving into town in Sunderland. He going to pick up his girlfriend. And some guy with a rifle says, hey, that guy just shot up the church. Take me and let's chase him. You know, the guy could have said, whoa, dude, you know, not me. He said, get in. And off they went. Ultimately drove this guy off the road and he committed suicide. Like the coward he was. In Las Vegas, there's this incredible picture. And it's just seared into my mind. You probably saw it. Of a woman on the ground and this guy is on top of her, protecting her. And I thought, this is so great that a boyfriend or a fiance or a husband would do that for his love. Then we find out it's a young soldier on leave who had no idea who this woman was. And when there was a break in the shooting, he pulled her up and got her to safety. Joanne Ward tried to do what mothers do and tried to protect her children in that shooting. Unfortunately, she died and so did two of her children. But her first instinct was to protect them. Was King David a hero? You bet he was. He was a hero to the nation of Israel when, as a teen, he challenged Goliath to a battle and using his AR-15, he dropped that dude. Oh, yeah, I forgot. He used a sling and a rock to fell the toughest fighting man in the Philistine army. And I see in my mind, because when you look at scripture, you know, David wasn't just like doing this, you know, and then let it fly. He was charging at Goliath. He was running, and he was doing this. And when he let it go, there was the momentum of a rifle shot that hit him in the forehead and dropped him like a rock. 1 Samuel 17:50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Then there was Jonathan Smith, who during the Las Vegas shooting, he helped rescue and protect more than 20 people, and he was risking his life to do this, and he was getting people and taking them to safety, and he would get them out to the parking lot and help them hide behind cars, and then the dummy would go back and get some more. And he went back to get these young ladies to get them to a better place of protection, and he himself got wounded at that.